Hallelujah. There are two scriptures that the Lord has spoke to me. One of them is in James. One of them is in James. And the other one is in Luke. But let me just read this. Let me just read the one in James first. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I suggest I love the book of James. James is talking to a holy place church. And I think what he is saying to that holy place church is very much pertinent with regards to the position in the place that you and I find ourselves in today. Hallelujah. I want to go into the second chapter. And James is talking about faith. He's talking about works. And he says that faith without works is a vain attempt to accomplish or to do something that is religious. Hallelujah. Or it turns out to be a religious exercise. Let me go here. Hallelujah. What does it profit, my brethren? Verse 14, chapter 2. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? That's a rhetorical question, by the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be ye warm and filled, notwithstanding you give him not of those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? It's a rhetorical question. There is no profit in it. Yea, a man, even so, faith, if it is not works, is dead, being alone. Hallelujah. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Thou believest that thou is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. In fact, I think the devils have a greater awareness of God and a greater fear. And I don't know if you've ever thought about the fear of God. And the fear of God is being afraid of God in a manner of fashion that brings you and I to a position or a place of doing the right thing. Hallelujah. You know, when I was growing up, my mother was a disciplinarian in my family. But when she couldn't handle us, she would always resort to Dad. Hallelujah. And I suppose if you were in a similar environment as me or had a similar experience, you can understand it. We did not want Dad to hear about it, because Dad would make sure that we would never forget it. And I'm talking about our disobedience to our mother. Hallelujah. And so therefore there was an authority behind Mom. You understand what I'm saying? That was very real to me. Hallelujah. And I can only remember, maybe there were more times, but I can only remember three times when my mother said, I'm going to tell your dad when he comes home. Hallelujah. And I can only remember three times of it because Dad did what Mom expected him to do, reinforced her position of authority over us. Hallelujah. So we had a healthy fear of Dad. Not because he was mean, not because he was violent, not because he was abusive, but because he meant what he said and he would discipline us to the fullest extent in order to establish the position of authority under which Mom was residing. Hello? Hallelujah. It was not in anger. It was not in a manner of fashion that was abusive. But it was in a manner of fashion that brought me a healthy respect for that authority. And you know something? Without that experience, without that thing in my life, I don't know that I could fear God. If I can't fear my natural father in natural situations, in the aspects of the retribution that would come to me because of willful rebellion and transgression, how is it that I am going to fear a God that I cannot see? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let us go back here again. James. Hallelujah. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Verse 18, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Thou believest that thou is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Why do the devils tremble? Because there is a realization that there is this entity called a living God. And I think that's part of our problem, quite frankly, as a church and as individuals. We have no personalization of God. In fact, the word God in its own terminology is very generic. Hello? Hallelujah. There are many names. There are many names that God has... There are many names that the Father has given himself, and one of them is not God. Hallelujah. That was a derivative of language. That was a derivative of man. And there are many gods. Hallelujah. You start talking about a God to a Catholic, and you have different perceptions of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are certain names that God called himself. One of the main factors, one of the main positions, the main aspect of it was the name Jehovah. God called himself Jehovah. Now they translated the letters and everything to come out as Jehovah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are other names of God, but the name that I like the best is the name the Father. Why do I like that name? Because it's a personalization of an entity, of a personality. He's not something that is way off out there somewhere in the blue, in the sky, in some arena or throne, and mystical in my thoughts, in my imagination. Hallelujah. I can relate to the word the Father. Hallelujah. And you know the conversations of Jesus Christ, huh? When he was speaking about this God, he didn't say God per se. He said the Father. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I think one of the problems we have is the personalization of this entity that we call God. Because God doesn't want to be some God. God wants to be your Father. Hello? And you have to relate to him in that manner, in that fashion, in order for God to be pleased with what it is that you are doing, with what it is that he has given you. Huh? Jesus had a personal, walking, talking relationship with the Father. And he's supposed to be the pattern son, right? Hello? He's supposed to be the pattern son. Now, I am saying that we have to build a position of relationship where we are able to identify with this entity that we call the Father in order that the faith that we have in that relationship will be transference to every set of circumstances that we are in. Every set of circumstance. Hallelujah. Not just the give me circumstances. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was a young man, well, he's not as young as he used to be, and I was very impressed by the personal position of relationship that he had with this entity that is called the Father. A very personal relationship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the relationship was so personal that the Father could talk to him in a measure, in a manner, as though he was right there telling him he needed to do this, he needed to do that, and he needed to do this, and he needed to do that. Hello? Do any of you have that type of relationship? Hallelujah. With this entity that you call God? Hallelujah. And authority does he have over your desires? How much authority does he have over your mind? How much authority does he have over your will? How much authority? How many decisions do we make every day without consulting the Father? Come on, brethren. There is a position, there is a place of relationship that we do not have because we do not understand the relationship that the Father wants with the Son. And if Jesus Christ is the pattern Son, then the relationship that he had with the Father, that personal, viable, living, talking, walking relationship is something that we have to cultivate if we want to please God. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The pattern son says he did nothing except what? The Father would do it. So it's not only that he heard the Father, he was seeing the Father. I love the stories in the Old Testament, especially the one about the Elohim when he came to visit Abraham. I love it. It is so tantalizing. It tastes so sweet. It tastes so good. Just reading about it. Hallelujah. Can you imagine this omnipotent, omnipotent, omniscient being condescending down in human form and going to have lunch with you? Why couldn't he? Why couldn't he? And can you imagine this omnipotent being consulting you with regards to what he is going to do? Come on, brethren. Why is it there? Why do we have it? Why? It's to whet your appetite. It's to whet my appetite. It's to make me hungry for that type of experience. Hallelujah. I want to understand. I want the reality. I want the concept of having God for lunch. And you know, it wasn't just a quick visit. Do you understand? It wasn't a quick visit. It wasn't one of those fast food things. You drive in, you pick it up, and you drive out. Hallelujah. It wasn't a fast food thing. They had to go get the lamb. They had to make sure the lamb was the heifer or whatever it was. They had to make sure it was the right thing. It was the best one of the flock. They had to dress it. They had to take care of it. They had to cook it. You're talking about hours of preparation. You're talking about hours of what was going on in that time frame. We're not told, but what do you think? They were just sitting there looking at each other? There was a conversation going on. There was something happening. Hallelujah. And when it was all said and done, the Lord said, "Should I not tell my friend? Should I not tell my friend what I'm about to do?" When was the last time God came to you and said, "I want to tell you what I'm about to do"? I don't think we could take it. We'd pass out from shock. Hallelujah. But it's there, it's written. Now, we either can believe it or we can just rip it out of our Bible and forget about it, or we can redact it. You know what they do. They put that black marker down there and they just go through it like this, like this, like this. And you end up with just these sketchy little words. Hallelujah. God wants us to be a friend. God wants us to be intimate with Him. God wants us, no matter what your age is. And don't give me this stuff about the not understanding. If you got the blood, if you got the Holy Spirit, you got the ability to know, perceive, to understand. You got it. You got it. All you have to do is ask the Father. Your Father wants to tell you the mysteries of the Godhead. God, the Father wants to tell you the mysteries of iniquity. He wants to tell you. He wants to share it with you. He wants your counsel involved in it. He wants your being to be in that position of interaction with Him. He wants you to know Him. Hallelujah. And don't tell me you can't know Him. It's not a matter of age. I sat in a meeting where the word was coming on the blood of Jesus Christ. Very deep, very profound word. And it ran for 2 hours. And there were 2 3-year-old babies that came out of that meeting accepting the blood of Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Loose! 3 years old! So don't tell me you can't understand. The Spirit moves on the level. The Spirit moves on the level of the individual whose heart is open. And those two ladies that I know about are still Christians today. It was a valid situation. It was a valid testimony. And their lives today testify to the power of the blood and the understanding that they had concerning it. Loose! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We indoctrinate our children with the things of the world. But I'm not of this world. What world am I of? What world am I of? What world am I of? John chapter 7 says, they are not of this world. How do you mentally handle that? Hallelujah. We treat them to be responsible, accountable, and be good citizens. A citizen, that's a good citizen. Citizens of what? Citizens of the United States of America? Oh, yes, yes, yes. You have to be a good citizen of the country you were in, right? Hallelujah. The Bible says, I am a citizen of a country that is not of this world. But I don't teach my children that. I don't teach my grandchildren that. I teach them the things and the mechanics of the things that are out here in the world. They are paramount. Hallelujah. I need to introduce them to a living reality of God, of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I need to introduce them into that arena. I need to introduce them into that experience. Hallelujah. But if I'm going to do that, I have to have it. I have to be involved with it. I cannot just be a hearer of the word and not a doer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I must be a hearer of the word. You know, I appreciate so much the training and the instructions that God so lovingly gave me. All the hardships, all the trouble, all the tribulation, all the trouble that went on. God bless him. God bless him, bless him, bless him, bless him. Hallelujah. Because it trained me to think in a certain way. It trained me to think in a certain manner. Hallelujah. And my manner of thinking is contrary to this world in many different situations. But I believe in the power of the living word, ancient words, ever true. Read 11, read Hebrews 11, ancient words, ever true. These people were out of the norm. They were out of the norm. They didn't live in nice houses. They didn't drive nice cars. They didn't have nice things. Or if they had, they lost them somewhere along the way. Hallelujah. They lived in caves. Huh? They died not receiving the promise. The promise. You know you've been given a promise. You've been given a promise of perfection. You've been given a promise of overcoming. You've been given a promise of being a citizen in a land that is not a citizen of this country. You've been given a promise. You've been given a promise of perfection. You've been given a promise. A promise. A promise. Hello. Hallelujah. 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 They had the promise. They had the revelation. They did not have the word that we have. But they had the promise. They had a revelation of the understanding that what God had created, He created for a specific reason, a specific purpose, and He was working with them to come to that fulfillment of that purpose. Hallelujah. You know, having a job is important. If it is the will of the Father. But you have to know the Father in order to know what His will is. Huh? Hallelujah! You have to know the Father in order to know what the will of the Father is. You have to know the Father. You have to be able to hear Him. 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 You all have to be able to hear it. And you have to recognize His voice, but you're not going to do it unless you're spending time with Him. Unless you're in the Word of God, unless you're prayer, unless you're meditating on these things that are not temporal, but everlasting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, young man, you have a calling and election on your life. You have a calling and election on your life, and it has nothing to do with the Air Force. There are other things that God's got in store for you. You just need to broaden your horizons. You need to get into the Word. You need to get into meditating and praying and fasting along with your wife. There's certain promises God gave her before she knew you. And your coming along did not void those promises. It fulfilled the opportunity and brought a completeness to it that God can now fulfill those things that He promised her and that He has promised you. But your responsibility, you are supposed to be the spiritual head of your home. You are the one who is supposed to be getting and pressing into God. You are the one who is going to unravel the mystery of your life concerning your activity in God and the promises being fulfilled. You have that responsibility. Hallelujah. And I think that you'll live up to it when you come to grips with it. Hallelujah. We have to be doers. Do you hear me? Doers. Hallelujah. You know, I have just my own testimony. I can't talk about you, and I can't expect you to be conformed to my testimony. But what I can tell you is my testimony and how God worked in my life. Huh? When I was a young man and a new Christian, God came to me and put a desire in my heart, first of all, to know Him in a greater way and to be able to do more for Him in the aspect of what I had or the knowledge that was in my mind concerning it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it isn't as though that I did not have responsibilities. And it doesn't mean that I didn't make mistakes in those responsibilities. But above and beyond that, hello, there was something in my heart that wanted to please the Father. Hallelujah. And it wasn't because that my earthly father taught me to respect fatherhood. It was because God gave me a revelation of what it was for him to be my father when I got born again. And I wanted to please him. And there were certain things in my life that I knew intuitively. Nobody had to come along and tell me those things are not things that are going to please the Father. I knew that in me, they things did not please the Father. And so I went to God to do something about it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You've had similar experiences. Hallelujah. And your heart cried out to God and you wanted deliverance, but God wanted you to want deliverance more than you wanted life. That's what God wanted. Want deliverance more than you want life. More the pleasures of life. Want God more than the pleasures of this life. And I said to God one day, all right, God, you win. If you can't deliver me, kill me. And God delivered me. Huh? But he didn't just deliver me. He put something in my soul that was indelibly written. Hallelujah. And when somebody came to me and said, Brother Bird, I would like you to travel with me. I said, how can I travel with you? I got a house. I got a home. I got kids. I got responsibilities. I got to work. Down in my heart. Down in my heart, I knew God wanted me to go. And I fought it, and I fought it, and I fought it, and I fought it, and I fought it until one day I said, all right, I give up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And brethren, you have to make sacrifices in order to do the will of God. It's going to cost you and me something. Well, it's really going to cost you everything. But he just takes a little something to start with. And then he works it up. And goes up the ladder with it. And it gets a little bit, the price of it gets a little bit higher, a little bit harder, and a little bit more expensive, and a little bit harder, and a little bit harder, and a little bit harder. Because he's wanting to see, do you really want to be delivered? Do you really want the reality of me? Do you really want me? The rich man. The rich young ruler. He came, rich young ruler. Why a rich young ruler? Ruler of all things. Because he's talking about not just that young man. He's talking about the kings and priests of God's household. He's talking about those of us who have had a word concerning God wants you as a son. Wants you a part of the corporate investment of sonship. Loose, 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 loose. Hallelujah. You know, God told me right when he says, it's not a matter of you doing something for me. It's a matter of me doing something for you. Hallelujah. But in order for me to do something for you, you have to do something for me. Hallelujah. 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 You know, it was Iceland. that first experience of going out in the midst of all of this business of the world, family and work and responsibility and this and that and that and this and this and that. Hallelujah. God comes and says, I want you to go to Iceland. I didn't even know where it was. All I knew was I didn't like the name. I don't like to be cold. And God was going to send me to a place called Iceland. Hallelujah. I said, okay, I'll go. I'm going to be a missionary to Iceland. He gets me into Iceland and says, you're no missionary. I brought you here so I could deliver you. You remember that trip, right? Hallelujah. Oh my goodness, we were so young, so stupid. But God was so merciful. Hallelujah. There's a price we have to pay. How do you really want to know God? Do you really want to know the Father? Do you really want to know Jesus Christ as an entity? Not as a theological concept. The Father is not a theological concept. He's a personality. Hallelujah. James and John came to Jesus and said, I want to sit on your right hand and I want to sit on your left hand. Come on, grant us what it is that we desire. And he says, it's not mine to give. How did he know it wasn't his to give? Huh? Because he was in league with the Father. He was talking to the Father. And you know something? He said, I pray for these people that where I am, they can also be. Where I am, present tense, where I am, right now. Where was he? Feet on the ground, head in the heavenlies. Hallelujah. 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 He says, show me your faith and I will show you my faith by those things which I do. Hallelujah. And you know, God puts you in some situations that you know that it's totally impossible for you to accomplish whatever it is that the Father has put you there to do. And in those places are the best places to learn and to see and know the deliverance of God. The Father. I'm working on it. Hallelujah. You know, we have had this word for many years. Hallelujah. Many years. But the years that have come and gone do not tarnish the relevant truth of the word in and of itself. Agadanamandaya. Hallelujah. One of the problems that Christendom has had, and that is including the non-denominational Holy Place Church, is a lack of personal relationship. Personal relationship. Hallelujah. What would your relationship be in your home if you didn't have a relationship with each other? How would you survive? Would it be a nice environment? Would it be congenial, harmonizing, happy? You don't know each other. You don't know each other. You don't know them. They don't know you. Huh? You don't know the individuals living in your house. You're like ships passing in the dark. What kind of a relationship would it be? It would not be a relationship, would it? There's no sense of our thought concerning that. It's not a relationship. It takes sharing one another, sharing in comfort and confidence and in truth and intimacy that desires companionship. Peace. Oh, I can understand why you don't know where God wants you. If you don't know God, you won't know anything. You won't know anything. Huh? You won't know anything. And God's not going to tell you anything. He says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. You have to draw nigh to God. Oh, how about marriage between people, between young people? You know God can tell you who you're going to marry, when you're going to marry, and how you're going to marry. Did you know that? He can. It's not that you build this scenario in your brain. It's not that you build this scenario in your brain and that's the fixed thing. It is knowing the Father and His love and concern for you, and that He desires you to be a complete and whole thing. Loose! 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 I've seen it. We have walking, talking testimony of it in our midst. Huh? And you know, sometimes God comes along and encourages you because he is pleased with your position, with your place of faith, and He honors it. And He comes along and somebody lays hands on you and begins to prophesy. And the kaboko shatai. Hallelujah. And it gives you the strength to endure. It gives you the strength to press in tenacity and determination to touch the hem of His garment. Loose! Loose! You know, quite frankly, we, and I say all of us, should make absolutely no decision concerning any major event in our life, hallelujah, that will circumvent the will of God without a word from the Father. You can't do it. Huh? You can't do it. Oh, you can do it. It is to your own detriment, to your own position, to your own place of failure or defeat. Hallelujah. But you know, the God's love of us so much that you do something of that nature, He just tribulates the devil right out of you. Put you in the fire. Are you in the fire? Huh? Are you in the fire? Find the will of God. Find the will and the meaning and the reality of His presence. His presence is what we need in the fire. Whether I live or whether we die. Oh, King. Huh? They had a revelation. They had a revelation. They had a revelation, Brother Martin. They had a revelation of an entity, of a personality, of a person. They had a revelation. And you know what that revelation did for them? It parted the curtain between time and eternity. And then and out of that eternity come the Son of God. And stands right in the midst of them. And you know, the thing that Nebuchadnezzar saw, he said, there is light like unto the Son of Man. I think he said man. Didn't he say man? There is one like unto the Son of Man. What was he seeing? He was seeing the unveiling of man and God walking, talking together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The manifestation was so great that a heathen king who had just built an idol unto himself and then just tried to sacrifice three boys to it, hallelujah, now saw the revelation of Jesus Christ and the development of the man-child. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. What does that say about tribulation? The fire was seven times hotter. They had come to a place now in their relationship and in the intimacy of it and the reality of it. They were not being religious in their activity concerning their worship and their adoration of this entity called Jehovah. It's not my responsibility to give you that reality. You have to find it. And it's not hard to find because God is saying, you draw nigh to me, I'm going to draw nigh to you. It's not hard. Hallelujah. We want to make it much more complicated. Hallelujah. I don't know how we interpret John 17. Hallelujah. I don't know how we interpret it. I'd be interested to know sometime. How do you interpret John 17? Hallelujah. Oh, is that just for the disciples, right? That's just for them. They walked and talked with the actual Jesus. That's just for them. Who are you walking and talking with? Who are you walking and talking with? A figment of your imagination? Hallelujah. How many of you are born again? How many of you know that you were born again? Really, actually, fantastically born again. Oh my God. When you are born again, you are born out of something into something else, and the thing that you were born out of ceased to exist. As far as you're concerned. Hallelujah. John 17. What did he say? He says, I don't pray for these alone. Hallelujah. John 17. I don't know. I haven't got there yet. Hallelujah. I want to go up here to... I want to go up here to verse 12, because that's 12 is the number of government, and we're talking about a government under the authority of the Father. Hallelujah. Yeah, by the way, Jesus is going to turn everything back to the Father. You know that, right? Huh? He's going to turn everything back to the Father. When it all comes down to the finished day, he's going to take it and abdicate it to the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the Father is the preeminent position. He is the preeminent focus of our attention. We have access to the Father through Jesus Christ. He is the vehicle by which we can approach the Father. He's the vehicle by which we can know the Father. Hallelujah. 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 So here we have Jesus praying for the disciples, but he's not only praying for the disciples, he's praying for us, and he is prophesying. Do you understand what it is to prophesy? Do you understand the reality of a prophetic word? Huh? Hallelujah. It's a word that is not a temporal thing. It's eternal. It deals with the circumstance in which it is spoken. It works through the time frame in which it is applicable to. And it comes down to the end of the day to present back to the Father the fullness of that word. Hallelujah. 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 He says here, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. That means the nature by which he was manifesting, the nature and the character are the witness to the fact that he was the Son of God, the Son of the Father. Loose! Hallelujah! You want somebody to be safe, be sound? This is the means by which you do it. You manifest the character and the nature of the Father, and you assert it over them, and you care and you move with it, with consideration concerning it. Hallelujah! I have kept them. Hallelujah! In thy name, those whom thou gavest me, I have kept them. He repeated it. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Well, there's a revelation in that, but I'm not going there. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. Jesus is praying a prayer, but he's also prophesying. It's a prophetic utterance. You know, prophetic utterance is not words that is spoken per se. It's a spiritual energy. A positive spiritual energy that goes out from God himself into the environment in which it is spoken, and to the person to which it is given, and that word begins to work in the inside of that person as well as the outside of the environment of that person that he's in. And it begins to arrange things for that person in order for that word to come to a place of fulfillment. Jesus said by the prophet Isaiah, he says, no word will go forth out of my mouth that will not come back to me full. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? Full. Oh, boy. I see many babies. Many babies around you. I see you caring for them. Hallelujah. I see you loving on them. Hallelujah. For the sake of the kingdom. Hallelujah. You know, there were words of prophecy that were true words given to you many, many years ago. And as I related earlier in some situations, those words have not been forgotten by God. Those words are not something that God has pushed to aside. They are words that God intends to bring to a full manifestation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you have to have hope. You have to have hope. You have to believe in the reality of those words. And you have to come to God and ask Him, God, give me the fullness of Thy Word. Bring the fullness of the promise that You have promised me. Ruth! And they're not words that I gave you, dear. Hallelujah. They came from other sources. And when it didn't make the difference, many of those words were true words of the Lord. Hallelujah. It says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Oh my. Hallelujah. Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Oh my goodness. The pattern son sets the example. The pattern son is isolated from the world by his focus and attention being on the will of the Father. The will of the Father, not the will of me, not the will of this one or that one, the will of the Father. Hallelujah. The will of the Father. Hallelujah. And don't tell me it's hard to know the Father. It's not hard. We want to make it a complicated thing. We want to make it something very religious. We want to make it something very this or very that. It is not hard to know the Father. All you have to say, God, the desire of my heart is to know you. And the fellowship of your sufferings. Oh, hallelujah. Got to throw that in there, right? Hallelujah. You know, not one of the disciples other than John, but he paid the price before he passed. Hallelujah. Not one of the disciples died a natural death. Not one of those individuals in Hebrews chapter 11 died of natural causes. Well, if you consider a sword or famine or something natural cause. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They all suffered for the sake of a message. Do you understand that? They had a message. They had your message. In fact, they pass you the baton. They pass you the baton. They pass you the baton. They did. Hello? Yes. And they're up there watching. Now, if this young lady or this young man can overcome, then I can overcome and I can see the thing that I did wrong. Come on. We are surrounded with so great cloud of witnesses that they, without ask, what? Cannot be made perfect. So you're not just responsible for your own family. You're responsible for those that are in heaven. But that's in heaven, right? That's out there somewhere in the nitty-gritty blue and blue. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, if we put as much time and effort into God as we did into making a living, you wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. We'd be somewhere else up there. Seek ye first, what? A good job. Oh, what is it? Some places I've been. Good education, good job, sense of security, and then marriage, right? That's the order in which we train our children, isn't it? Isn't that the way we train them? We raise them up. Huh? That's the way we train them. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You know, there was a man back there when our kids were growing up, very young, we were investigating homeschooling. I forget what his name was. He was a Baptist man. And you know, he wasn't very righteous, but he had a thought. He had an idea that if you put God first, education would come naturally. And he proved it. He had one of the biggest homeschool organizations. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He had one of the biggest homeschool organizations that were prevailing at that time frame when homeschools weren't the in thing to do. Hello? He found out through studies and clinical tests that if the person was in the Word and he was learning Scripture and he's reading about God, he would excel in the various things that pertain to school. Reading, writing, math, reading, writing, and arithmetic. They would excel. And he had the statistics to prove it. Right. Now, of course, the man was off in some of his theology, but the fact of the matter is he proved something concerning the Bible and the Word of God. Hallelujah. All right. Hallelujah. They are not of the world. Oh, boy. Can we ever get past that? They are not of the world. Even what? Even as I... Oh, he could have left that out, couldn't he? Couldn't he just have left that out? Redact that. You know, get your pen out there and just scribble that out. Even as he was not of the world. You know when he was 12 years old, what he was doing? What was he doing? What was he doing? You know what I was doing when I was 12 years old? I was having a birthday party. Who's having a birthday party? Oh, I could have gone all day without saying that, right? Now you're not happy with me. I'm sorry. Hallelujah. He was not of this world even. They are not. They, you, I, they are not of this world even as I am not of this world. Bruce! What am I supposed to do? Deny my experiences concerning these issues? I am born again. I am born again. Did you hear? I am born again. That means I am born out of something into something different. And it says, if I am buried with him in baptism, what does that mean? It means anything and everything that pertains to me in the natural arena is now dead. It's a dead zone. Dead zone. Dead zone. It's dead. And I am to come up out of the water. And now what am I supposed to do? Walk in the newness of what?
Life.
What life?
Oh, yeah.
Huh? What life am I supposed to walk? Am I supposed to go back now and celebrate my day of death? Am I supposed to dredge up all those familiar spirits? Am I supposed to do that? And don't tell me it's not true, because I was in Africa and I was in a meeting in a Holy Ghost Spirit-filled church who has this end-time word, and they bring up this little baby to christen and to celebrate his birthday. All the elders came up, all the parents, both sides, grandparents, and there was even a great-grandparent there. Devil wanted to make sure. They all laid hands on that child and began to speak in tongues, but it wasn't Holy Ghost tongues. And I saw all these spirits. Have you been in a celebration like that somewhere? All these spirits, ancestral devil, coming and laying hands on that child. Loose! Oh, what am I supposed to do? Deny it? What am I supposed to do with it? What am I supposed to do with it? How am I supposed to handle it? I have been born again. I have been born again. You have been born again. I got a grandson who has been born again. Our grandsons who have been born again. Am I supposed to celebrate something that is in the past that was buried in baptism? Hello. And I get rid of, can I get and possibly get scolded for it in one way or another? Come on. Come on. We are not of this world. We are not of this world. And yet we're so much a part of it, and it's so mixed up inside of us that we are a part of it. And we wonder why we have all of the trouble and the tribulation that we find ourselves in. We wonder about it. Why God? Have you ever said that? Why me, Lord? Oh, God, why me? Why me? Why am I in this situation? Why am I suffering like this? Why don't you do whatever it is you're supposed to do? Why? Why me, Lord? Huh? Why? Come on, brethren. He said, they are not of the world. Maybe I got it all wrong. I can probably do it. You can correct me. Maybe I got it all wrong. Maybe this is just theoretical spiritual language. Maybe it's just theoretical spiritual language, and it doesn't really pertain to me, and I can do all these other things that the world does out here. And it's not a matter of not doing them. It's a matter of what is in our hearts. It's what is in our hearts. Come on. It's what's in our hearts. And we need our heart tone, heart condition changed. Hallelujah. From things that are temporal. You know, you really have no control over your future, do you? How much control do you have over tomorrow? You don't know whether the sun is going to shine or it's going to be cold. are rainy, you have no control over it. You just have to adapt. You know, I've seen God control the weather. Do you know that? I've seen God control the weather. We had this little farm there in Illinois, and we had just put out a crop, and this big storm was coming in. My wife and I got together and began to say, Lord, you cover Goshen, cover us, cover us, cover us, cover us in this place. If it rains now, and if this deluge comes upon these plants, it will kill them. And you know the labor, the cost, and you know the result of all of that aspect. Lord, cover us like Goshen. You know what happened? It rained all around us. You remember that? Dry. Right in the middle, dry. You pull in off the driveway, out of rain, into the driveway, dry. Dry, dry, dry. Hallelujah. And so many times when catastrophes or disasters are going to strike, this body has prayed. This body has prayed. Do you understand? They have prayed. Hallelujah. And it turned the tide of that storm. Hallelujah. There was one of those things headed right for the Florida Keys and coming across the Gulf. So we prayed and it went from going that direction and went back out into the Atlantic. What happened? What happened? We are not of this world. We are in a position or a place of greater authority. It just takes seemingly some natural disaster or crisis, hallelujah, to activate us. But God might not be so merciful the next time around. Oh, hallelujah. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. 12 years old, this young man, 12 years old. Now you're going to say, well, that was Jesus. No, 12 years old, young boy, human boy, in the temple, conversing with the scholars. I suppose there's some of those around that are 12 years old that could do that today, but I haven't met them yet. Huh? Hallelujah. 12 years old. I probably had my nose. Well, I probably didn't. I wasn't a very good student. Nose down in a book, getting ready for an exam. Ancient words. Ancient words. Ever true. Changing me. Changing you. That's what it's all about. You and I have to change. We have to change if we want to be a part. Oh, you don't really have to change if you don't want to. You don't. You don't have to change. You can just accept the norm as it is. Huh? You can just accept it as it is and go with the flow. But you won't be a son. It takes special quality of character. It takes a special tenacity and a determination. It takes a special position of reality that this living thing that we call God is not just a God, but He's a Father. And you are His child. And you have a position and a place in the Godhead with Him. Yes! Hallelujah. You know, we have that inheritance thing. Huh? We have that inheritance things in the natural. Your parents make a living, they put in money in the bank, they do all of these things, they have properties and things in it. And when they die, they bequeath it to you. It's an inheritance. Huh? Why do we have that law? Why do we have that principle? Because it's a spiritual principle. Huh? The firstborn has the position and the favor of the Father. And he's going to inherit all that the Father has. And the Father is going to give it to him. Do you remember the story of the prodigal? Huh? Hallelujah. He was still a son. And he was able to repent. But he did not receive the inheritance that was legislated for him. Why? because he deserted the philosophy, he deserted the position of relationship. He did it. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. He said, I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. He repeats it. Do you understand what it means when he repeats something over and then over again? It means emphatically, this is the point. This is the point. This is the point. Hallelujah. Brethren, you and I have to live in the world, but we do not have to be a part of it. We have to live here. I have to buy clothes. I have to buy food. I have to buy this gas for my car. I got to pay rent. I got to do this. I got to do that. I live in the world, but that world does not have a control over me as to what I do or I don't do as concerning the will of the Father. If the Father says, get up and go, I get up and go. If the Father says, sit down and be quiet, I sit down and be quiet. Hallelujah. If the Father says, occupy until I come, I want to occupy until he comes. Loose. Do you hear me? I want to occupy, but I have to have a word from the Father to occupy. Well, I do have a word. It's in the Bible. It's written. And I can occupy until a further word comes to me concerning what it is I am supposed to do other than just occupy. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus said later on in this chapter, he says, I sanctify myself for their sakes. All of what he is saying is a part of his sanctification, not for his own benefit, but for the benefit of those that he is responsible for. And that includes you and I. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there is a position, there's a place that God is bringing us to, and there's an understanding. You know, I was just in Sierra Leone. Was it last week? 2 weeks ago? I was in Sierra Leone 2 weeks ago. And we had a series of meetings. And I got the tapes and I'm working on them. I'm hoping to get them to Brother Gordon. And, you know, it was 9 or 10, maybe 11 meetings that we had back to back, just running straight through the whole time we were there. And God so mercifully came down in every one of those meetings. And the word was very concise. The word was very clear. I encourage you all to get the tapes. Get them. They will be made available hopefully before we leave here. I don't know what Brother Gordon would have to do with them. But whatever the case may be, they will be made available. Hallelujah. And I encourage you to get them and listen to them. I encourage you to go into the library. Oh my goodness. You know, a word comes and I record it. I put it on my computer. I sit down at my computer and I turn the word on and I begin to listen to it. And I never get beyond a few minutes before something that is said in the meeting strikes a chord in my heart. So I stop the tape, go to the Word of God, and begin to dig into it. And that takes me here, and that takes me there, and that takes me there. I hardly ever get done with a tape. It takes self-discipline. It takes self-control. It takes self-determination. Hello? But I can guarantee you, if you want to do it, God will instruct you in it. He will talk to you in it. He will bring you revelation that you did not think or know that you had the capability of hearing. And it will build a faith and a belief in you. Hello, Kappa. Do you hear me? Ancient words, ever true. Changing what? Me, changing you. Long preserved. My God, people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are supposed to be not just hearers. We are supposed to be doers. Doers. We're supposed to be doers. The one indictment against every church is the indictment of not being known of God. Did God say, can you imagine that? God said, I do not know you. God knows everything, doesn't he? But yet he says, I don't know you. Huh? It goes back to the time of Abraham. Did you know that? That's a revelation about Abraham, you understand? He was told to take his only son up there on the mountain and sacrifice him. Brother Barak, he has a teaching on it, very good teaching. He gets told to go up there to the mountain and sacrifice your son. Hallelujah. Talk about natural affection. Talk about natural set of circumstances. I'm supposed to take my son up on the mountain and kill him. And you know, Abraham was a man that came out of the Chaldees as a son of a priest who was involved in human sacrifice. He knew that it was wrong. He knew that it was against the concept or the principle of God. And yet God said, go up there and sacrifice that young man. That's something to be thought about. How is it that that can be naturally applied and applicable to our own situation with our own children? Do you think it's in there just to tell us about Abraham? Huh? Do you think it's just in there for Abraham's sake that we might know Abraham was this man of God? Huh? Hallelujah. I don't think so. I think there's something apropos to it in my position, my relationship with my children, with my grandchildren, with every parent who is under this word. I think there's a responsibility to know how it is applicable to our situation with our children. Loose! Oh, it's just for Abraham, right? Oh, my. The Bible says they were ensamples. Not examples, ensamples. They set the tone. They set the benchmark. They set the procedure. Hallelujah. He brought that young man up there. And you know, this young man was an exceptional young man. Tell me, Brother Joseph, if your dad took you up on a mountain somewhere, and you know that there was going to be a sacrifice made, huh? And you're wondering where the offering is, and all of a sudden he takes a rope out and he starts binding you. What are you going to do? Are you going to say, yes, Dad, go ahead, kill me? No, I don't think so. Exceptional young man. Exceptional young man. Oh, that we could have children like that. Exceptional children. Willing to submit to the Father. Obedience. Hallelujah. He allowed himself to be bound. He allowed himself to be put on the altar. Maybe he just shut his eyes and grimaced when the knife was raised above him to come down upon him. I don't know. Oh, we're thinking, oh, what a traumatic experience. This boy is going to be ruined for the rest of his life. How inhumane, how unhuman that is. This is child abuse. Oh, yes, that's what we think. That's what we think, don't we? Oh yeah, if you're a neighbor, you're sitting down there waiting for Abraham and Isaac to come back. Huh? Oh yeah, come on. What is the reality of it? What is the truth of it? Was it just Abraham and Isaac? Or were they in samples? Inseparable means something that was done for the purpose of being duplicated. Hallelujah. And when he started to come down with that knife, I had a vision once. I don't know that I saw it in the vision. I'll just share it with you. I was praying about it, and I could sense and see. I saw Abraham struggling with his natural affection. I saw him struggling with his doubt in his mind. I could hear the devil talking to him. What are you doing? You're sacrificing your only son. You're spoiling the chances. What does God think he is doing? Giving you this order and giving you this instruction to do. And I could see Abraham struggling. See him struggling, struggling. And I could hear the devil. And I could see his face. I could see every movement of his being. Hallelujah. And as he raised the knife, I sense in him that the thought or the shout, as it were, let God be God and let God be glorified. And he came down with the knife. And as he came down with the knife, a hand came in and stopped him. It's the only way it could be. Do you understand? He had to commit the act. Do you understand? He had to do it beyond his mental ability. Physically, he had to participate. God had to intervene. Amen. And he had the faith to believe it. God will provide a sacrifice for it, son. What did the angel say? Now I know you. Now I know you. Now I know you. Why? Because in that moment, in that time, there was something in him that was created that was indelibly God. A nature was birthed and born within him. I pray not that thou shouldest take them from the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil that is in the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to go back over in James, and I'm closing. You all can breathe a sigh of relief. Hallelujah. Okay, verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain, that's self-orientated, self-preserving, self-satisfying, self-relying, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac as his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. It's not enough to have faith. It is that faith has to be made. Made. Did you understand? Made. It has to be made, created. It has to be created and made perfect. God bless you.